want to welcome you to our evening broadcast. We thank you sincerely for taking the time to listen. We ask you to pray for these broadcasts and the messages as they go forth. And please do take the time to pass the messages on to others, those that you feel would benefit from hearing the Word of God. We do want these broadcasts to be a very definite means of outreach from our congregation just at this time. We remind you of the meetings in the will of God in the incoming week. Our midweek service here on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. It will be held here in the church building. And we do invite you to come and to join with us. And then next Lord's Day, the morning service at 11:30. That service will be held here in the church and all the social distancing guidelines will be observed. The evening service is at 6:30, but it is broadcast on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. There's no evening service here in the church just for the foreseeable future. The preacher next Lord's Day is the minister of our Corrigarry Church, the Reverend Ray Kerskadden. So please keep our brother in your prayers and we encourage you to come along and to hear him minister the Word of God. So please take the time just to make these meetings known and be assured that we would be glad of your presence and your fellowship at the meetings that are held here in the house of God. We're going to read together from the Scriptures. We're turning to the Old Testament. It's to the second book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5. The opening six verses we're going to read together. It's part of the story of Naaman the leper. So I encourage you to turn in the Scriptures and follow the reading. 2 Kings 5, beginning at verse 1. And let us hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Israel said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Just ending the reading there, the close of the sixth verse. And we do know and we pray earnestly the Lord will follow with his blessing this, the public reading of his word. We want to take time just to pray, lift our hearts to the Lord. We value your prayers. We encourage you to pray with us, especially that the Lord will make his word profitable and that he might use it today even to the saving of the lost. Father, we do bow to give thee thanks for your many blessings. Thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us during this last week. We do thank you, Father, for the Lord's Day, that you've been pleased to bring us to the beginning of a new week in health and strength. We want to thank you, Father, for all your provision. We're able to say that we've lacked no good thing. And we want to praise thee especially for every spiritual blessing, that we live in a land where there's liberty to meet and to worship thee. We thank you, Father, that we have the Bible, the light of Scripture. We thank you that we can say from our earliest days we've known the gospel. And we want to give thee praise, Father, for all of these great spiritual blessings you have bestowed upon us. Help us ever to value them. We pray that even in our land, Father, that these blessings will be treasured and valued more in the days to come. We ask thee to have mercy upon our land at this time. We need a visitation from God. We want to pray that you'll be pleased to come and turn the tide spiritually in our land, even in these days. Remember our own congregation here in Armagh. Those that are able to be out with us, encourage them by the fellowship. And those, Father, that are still been careful, sheltering at home, be near to them. Keep them in health and strength and encourage their hearts. And we want to pray, Father, use your word today as it goes forth. We want to pray, Father, that you would speak clearly, powerfully. And especially we ask that you'd speak savingly to the hearts of many that will hear of those that have come to Christ, both here at home and even abroad, through these messages that go forth over the internet. So hear and answer these, our prayers. We offer them to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're taking the words of verse 3 as our text this evening. The scriptures tell us, and she said, that's the little maid carried away out of the land of Israel. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So those words especially in the middle of the verse, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. The theme in the gospel this evening is common mistakes about salvation. If you think of the story of the Titanic, it's very well known. That great ship that struck an iceberg, and the result of that was that it sank on its maiden voyage, and it sank with a serious loss of life. Over 1,500 people died that night in the cold, icy waters of the Atlantic. The reason for that awful disaster, the reason why it occurred, was because of a series of mistakes. For example, there was design flaws. The design of the ship was faulty. The ship was going too fast. Also, iceberg warnings were ignored. Those are just a few examples. But there was a series of mistakes that led to that terrible tragedy. And in this chapter of Scripture, 2 Kings 5, we read of another series of mistakes. We could describe them as Naaman's mistakes. Remember that he was a Syrian general. He was a national hero. He had brought deliverance to his nation. But he was also a leper. He was a man that was seriously ill. And remember that he had been told by the little maid that had been carried captive out of the land of Israel. The maid attended upon his wife, and she had told him how he could be cured of his leprosy. The message that she had given was plain, it was clear, it was unmistakable. But Naaman didn't listen to what he had been told. And the result of that was that he made a series of mistakes, and they were very serious mistakes about how his leprosy could be cleansed. Naaman's mistakes, that is what we read of here in this portion of God's word. And the same mistakes, men and women, are made by many today about the vital matter of salvation. And I want us to look at Naaman's mistakes, because they reveal to us very clearly the common mistakes that people make about the great issue of the salvation of their soul. The first mistake that I'll highlight is that he was wrong about the person. If you think of the words of our text, the maid had said, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. The little girl had said, go to the prophet. The prophet at that time was the great man of God, Elisha. But if you look at verse 6, it says he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Naaman went to the king, not to the prophet, went to the king of Israel. The king at that time was Jehoram. So we see how careless, how blind this man was. The little girl had made no mention of the king. She plainly spoke about the prophet, about Elisha, the need to go to the man of God. So Naaman was wrong about the person. And the same is true with regard to salvation. You think of how many there are who go to the wrong person for salvation. They go to the priest, they go to the minister, they go to the religious leader, but they're the wrong person. If they're saved, if they know the Lord, they'll be able to give help and guidance, but they cannot save your soul. There's only one person who can save your soul. There's only one person who can forgive your sins. Who is that? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Peter's very clear statement, preaching in Jerusalem. It's recorded for us in the book of Acts. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's clear there's only one Savior. Paul said the same thing writing to young Timothy. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Think of John the Baptist's great statement, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So men and women, don't get it wrong. Don't make a mistake about the person. There's only one person who can save you. There's only one person who can forgive your sins, and that is Jesus Christ, the one who is the Savior of sinners. There was an old woman coming near the end of her life on one occasion. The priest came to visit with her. He offered to forgive her sins. The lady asked to see his hands, and as she looked at his hands, she said to him, "You're an impostor." You can imagine the priest was a little taken back. And then she declared, "The man who can forgive my sins has nail prints in his hands." How wise she was. What a lesson that is. Men and women, don't go to the wrong person. Come to Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He says to you, he gives the great gospel invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So he's wrong about the person. Naaman was also wrong about the price. If you look at the words at the end of verse 5, it says he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So Naaman came laden with money, laden with riches. He had 10 talents of silver. He had 6,000 pieces of gold. He had 10 changes of clothing. And again, he hadn't paid attention. The maid hadn't said a word about money. But Naaman brought a lot of money with him. Just to give you some idea, it speaks there of 10 talents of silver. A talent was approximately 100 pounds weight, or slightly over 50 kilograms. So 10 talents, that means he had brought half a ton of silver with him. He brought a lot of money. He came with the idea that he was going to buy, he was going to purchase the cure for his leprosy. He was wrong about the price. And the reason he was wrong was because there was no price. Do you remember what Peter said to Simon the sorcerer? "Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And the reality is that many in our land and across the earth today think exactly like that. They pay into a church. They pay into a religious establishment. They pay the priest to say masses. Why do people do that sort of thing? Because they have the idea they have to buy salvation. They have to buy their place in heaven. If you think that, then you're wrong. You're altogether wrong about the price for salvation. Why is that? Because there is no price attached to God's salvation. As Isaiah the prophet said, it is without money and it is without price. God's salvation is entirely free of charge. As Peter said, we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. What Peter's saying, what he's teaching there is, you don't buy your way into heaven. Salvation isn't bought. It isn't purchased with money. Even the most valuable possessions, such as silver and gold, Salvation is given freely, given without charge. Because remember, it is the gift of God. And you never pay for a gift. And the reason you don't pay for a gift is because it has already been paid for. And your salvation has been paid for at highest cost. It has been paid for with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that he shed for your sins on Calvary's cross. So Naaman was wrong about the price. He was also wrong about the procedure. If you look at verse 11 of the passage, it tells us, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought." Note those two words, "I thought." Naaman had his own thoughts, his own opinions, his own ideas. He came with his own prescription written out beforehand. He thought there was going to be a ritual, a ceremony, a public show. The proud man, you see, wanted all the pomp, but he was wrong. The procedure for his cleansing was simple. All he had to do was just wash, and he would be clean. And there are many unsaved people, just like Naaman, and perhaps you're one of them. You say, "I thought." And the reality is that everyone has their opinion on the matter of salvation. Everyone has their opinion on the way to heaven. "I think this, I think that, I think the other thing." There are all sorts of different thoughts, different philosophies, different opinions, different theories about the way to heaven. The Muslim says, "I think this is the way to heaven." The Hindu says, "No, I think this is the way to heaven." Everyone has their own thoughts. But men and women, listen carefully. Your thoughts about salvation will take you to hell. They will take you to a lost eternity. Solomon in the book of Proverbs says, he says it on two occasions, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Men think that their ideas is the right way. It is the appearance of being the right way. But man's opinion always leads to a lost eternity. The verse is clear. The end thereof is the ways of death. The reality is, it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God has said, what God has stated, what God has revealed in his word about the way that your soul can be saved. And that's why you need to read the Bible. That's why you need to study it carefully. That's why you need to hear it and listen to it as it is proclaimed. You ask me today, what has God said? What is God's procedure of salvation? It's simply this: look and live. The prophet Isaiah gives the great exhortation, or the Lord speaks through the prophet and says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other." There was a man one occasion giving his testimony. He said that he'd been saved by good looks. People were a little surprised at that. But he explained and said in the gospel meeting where he came to Christ, the evangelist spoke on verses in the Bible where you're exhorted to look. The one that we've just quoted from Isaiah, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." The words of Paul in the Hebrews, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation." The words of Paul to Titus, "Looking for the blessed hope." So those were the verses that were preached on the night he came to Christ. So he said he was saved by good looks, looking by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation. And men and women, that's God's procedure. There's nothing hard that needs to be done. There's no great ceremony that you have to pass through. The procedure is simply this: look and live. It's the simple look of faith to the finished work of Christ that will save your soul for all eternity. The final mistake that I'll mention that Naaman made was he was wrong about the place. In verse 12, he said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" Sadly, Naaman despised the place of cleansing. He wanted to go to the place of his own choice. He thought it was just as good. But the reality is, there was only one place for Naaman to be cleansed. And that was God's place. That was the place of God's appointment. He was wrong about the place. And with salvation for many, it is just the same. Remember, if you want to be saved, then you must wash in the place that God himself has appointed. It's not the baptismal tank. It's not the confessional box. It's not the so-called holy places. If you think that, you're mistaken. You're wrong. The place where your sins are washed away is at Calvary. Did you know the place where Abraham built the altar to offer Isaac? The place where Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem is exactly the same place in the land of Israel where the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That emphasizes for us a great biblical truth, men and women. There's only one place of sacrifice. There's only one place where your sins can be dealt with, that your sins can be washed away, and it's at Calvary in the crimson fountain of the Savior's blood. A young lad came to Stanley Arnott on one occasion. Arnott was the great brethren missionary to Africa in the 19th century. The young fellow looked at Stanley Arnott's hands and declared, "Tell me the name of the river where you washed your black hands white." And that's what we want to do today. We want to tell you the name of the river where you can not only wash your black hands, but wash your black heart white as well. As William Cowper said in that great gospel hymn of his, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Zechariah the prophet said, "There's a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness in the house of David. And you need to wash there, my friend, and there alone, if you are to experience God's so great salvation." So here are Naaman's mistakes, or common mistakes about salvation. Wrong about the person, wrong about the price, wrong about the procedure, and wrong about the place. And remember, it is only when Naaman got these things right, it was only then that he was cleansed from his leprosy. And it will be the same for you with regard to the matter of your soul's salvation. I'll just say to you in conclusion that salvation is the most important thing in life. And you cannot afford to be wrong. You cannot afford to be mistaken with regard to your soul's salvation. The result, if you're wrong, is that you'll be doomed. You'll be lost. You'll be damned for all eternity. So there is no room for error, men and women, in this matter. So we want today to urge you, don't be deceived. Don't make any of these mistakes that we have highlighted and pointed out to you from this portion. Don't make any of these mistakes with regard to your soul's salvation. May the Lord be pleased today to speak powerfully through his word. Just a little word of prayer as we finish. Father, we do thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for this book that's a light, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for blessing us with the word of God. The scriptures tell us that the entrance of your word giveth light. We want to pray, Father, that the light of God's word will shine into darkened hearts, darkened souls, even this very day. We ask you to bless this message. Use it, speak through it to the saving of the lost. You've said it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And Lord, as this message goes forth in this community and even much further afield, we want to pray that you will use it, that you'll overrule with regard to those that hear it. You know those, Father, that need to hear this word from thyself. And our prayer is, Father, that there will be, in truth, signs following the preaching of thy precious word. So hear our cries and our prayers, and we just give ourselves to thee now, and we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, will be our abiding portion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.